I'll try to be as exciting as possible because I know it's been a long hour. It's hard to sit for so long. I know it's been very exciting, but yeah, it's hard to sit for so long. So my presentation is about an intervention that was started by the West Virginia Department of Education and the accompanying evaluation, and it's titled West Virginia Can, Evaluation of a Pilot Implementation to Increase Family Involvement in Childhood Obesity Prevention. Again, my name is Jill Nolan, and I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, I wanted to begin by talking about the organization that I represent, which is the West Virginia Prevention Research Center. The West Virginia Prevention Research Center is one of 37 CDC-funded PRCs nationally. The West Virginia PRC is kind of unique because they serve the whole state of West Virginia as their community, and as a result, they have a long history of partnering with state health and education departments for evaluation and intervention. To provide a little bit of background for those of you who aren't familiar with the problem of obesity in West Virginia, West Virginia has one of the highest rates of both adult and childhood obesity nationally. According to the Trust for America's Health, F as in Fat report, we ranked fourth in adult obesity and 10th in childhood obesity. An estimated 45.5% of West Virginia fifth graders are either overweight or obese. West Virginia is a very rural state. It's entirely encompassed within Appalachia, and a large percentage of our population lives in rural environments. Children in rural areas have been found to be at increased risk for overweight and obesity. And some of the factors contributing to this, particularly in West Virginia, are the mountainous terrain, problems with built environment. There aren't very many sidewalks. It might be difficult. Active transport can be essentially impossible for some of these families. And with school consolidation, some children have to ride an hour long on the bus, you know, just one way to get to school and back home. And that's unfortunately more common than it should be, in my opinion. But as a result, you know, West Virginia, there are multiple efforts to combat this problem. One organization working, to fight this is the West Virginia Office of Healthy Schools. The Office of Healthy Schools is housed in the State Department of Education. Their mission is to provide leadership, training, and support for schools and communities. And it's one of the CDC-funded states for coordinated school health programs. The Office of Healthy Schools in the 2008-2009 school year, across the board in the Department of Education, there were efforts to increase parental involvement, both in other academic courses. So the Office of Healthy Schools wanted to do something to increase parental involvement in healthy lifestyles initiatives. So they selected the We Can program. We Can stands for Ways to Enhance Children's Activity and Nutrition. It was developed by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and it was identified as a promising intervention by the Institute of Medicine. We Can emphasizes energy balance in primarily three areas, which is increasing activity, improving food choices, and decreasing screen time. We utilize the parental component of the We Can program. There's also an accompanying child component, but since the primary goal was parental involvement, they only use the parent part. For the implementation, schools across the state were invited to apply for a $1,000 grant to implement in their school. As you can see, there were counties from all across the state that applied and got funding, or applied for funding, and elementary, middle, and high schools were selected through the state. And I also wanted to mention, We Can was developed for 8 to 13-year-olds, but high schools were also welcome to apply, and then they could modify the program, to serve their age group. So where the Prevention Research Center and where I was mostly involved was with the evaluation of this. 21 schools were selected for inclusion in the evaluation, and it broke down mainly into two components. One was an online facilitator survey, which measured demographics, implementation, program impressions, like how do they feel about the program overall, and then how do they feel about specific sessions and outcomes, how did they perceive the outcomes. Then there was also a parent survey pre and post test, and that was modified from the surveys that came with the We Can program that were developed by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. And it measured different knowledge, attitude, and behavior questions. So our findings from the implementation, facilitators were primarily health or PE teachers, so people right in the school, and the majority were female. Most involved others in implementation, and this was sometimes a school nurse, a parent volunteer, or another teacher at the school. 15 schools successfully implemented WeCan by the end of the spring, 2009, and I'll go into some more detail later about why 6 schools, you know, were unable to implement. But we had 11 elementary, 3 middle, and 1 high school. So the facilitator survey had some promising results. Facilitators seemed pleased with the WeCan program. 80% believed that it was easy to implement. And the majority found that the program was effective. They felt that the parents were responsive to what there was, and they believed it would lead to an increase in healthy eating and physical activity for the students. We also had qualitative, some open-ended questions on the survey, and these are some comments from facilitators. One facilitator said, we had a parent who quit smoking, started exercising with the student, and prepared healthy snacks for her son. She enjoyed studying the book for parents and enjoyed participating in classroom discussions. Another facilitator commented, I hope to see this continued next year if possible. Our school is very interested in keeping after-school programs going. I had a family who really seemed to make progress in the goals that they set for themselves. Just the communication and effort they put forth was wonderful to see. Thanks so much to the WeCan program. Now, the parent survey findings were slightly more disappointing. We had 79 pre-surveys completed, but due to some of the limitations with the intervention, we only had 28 post-surveys completed. And I'll go into some more detail about the problems we encountered later. But even in light of the smaller numbers, T-Test did find significant improvement in 5 out of the 15 constructs. So there was improvement in energy balance knowledge, portion size attitudes, healthy eating attitudes, healthy food behaviors, and screen time knowledge. So WeCan does show promise as an effective intervention among West Virginia parents. Facilitators are pleased with the WeCan program and felt it would have lasting impact for those who were involved. And most importantly, those who received their funding earlier in the spring were more successful at implementation. And that leads into some of the challenges, which is really a good learning opportunity from this. The biggest problem that we had were delays in funding, and the schools that were most hard hit by this were the poorer schools, because some schools that had more resources were able to pull funding from elsewhere, implement the program early, and then, you know, repay whenever they got their funds for this. But the 6 schools that didn't implement just were never able to do it because of funding. And the delays, unfortunately, resulted in a snowball effect where they didn't know if they were going to get their money until late in the spring. That was a worst time of year, so they had less time to recruit more competing interests because there's baseball and other activities that go on in the spring. And then also just for the project overall, small sample size makes it difficult to generalize and interpret. Some of the recommendations is advanced planning. One semester ahead of time, we could have really got the ball rolling with some of these schools. A parallel program for children, one of the comments from facilitators is a lot of parents had a hard time just coming by themselves, so they would bring their children, which were sometimes a distraction or made it difficult. So I think using the parent component, or at least having, you know, at the very least child care, ideally some type of activity or intervention for the children would be beneficial. And some strategies to improve recruitment would be to use multiple methods, involve community members in recruitment, so really pull from people who have participated in the past, to increase exposure and motivation for participation. So instead of just trying to recruit, tell parents why they should be interested in this and why it's important, and really highlight their role. Because I think particularly once you get to late elementary and middle school, you know, children are starting to become a little more independent and parents aren't as hands-on as they might be in earlier grades. Increase the flexibility of programming, so you might have some parents that work different shifts, so trying to offer multiple options, and partner with existing organizations in the community. There's references. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Jill. I think you can see that these young people are really doing a great job in terms of their research. Let's give them one more hand for the whole group. Now open this up to questions for any of our presenters, if you want. Yes, please.
First, I want to thank everyone for their research. The scorecard and the WeCan program is so inspiring. I am a native to Denver. I live here. I feel really blessed to live in the second most fit city. We have some of the best economic status happening here in terms of funding for public parks, public recreation, after-school programs, public education programs, Montessori schools, Waldorf schools, international schools. bilingual education and Spanish, Chinese, Japanese, German. I mean, what we have is phenomenal. I work with local business owners who run organic, vegan, vegetarian restaurants. I work in the Bruce Randolph Wall Street African-American community, where we have great fried chicken, grits, down-home southern cooking. I've worked in New Orleans, New York, Spain, bandaging feet on the frontera, Dallas, Mexico. I'm fluent in Spanish. Mainly I say I'm a civil rights activist and working with Planned Parenthood, the state, and Sisters of Color. A comment I had on Melody's research was looking at the terms of unhealthy eating. There's really cultural factors.
Is there a question coming?
Yes, the question is, based on nursing, and that's my background, looking at what unhealthy eating is, there's still a judgment there in the nursing facility of eating fried chicken. I love fried chicken. I cook fried chicken all the time. I'm also a yoga instructor, a dancer, and a facilitator. So I just want to help bring consciousness or awareness to what does unhealthy eating mean? Because there's cultural bias there.
Sure.
Do you want to answer it from here?
No, I think that's a very good point.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a very good point.
And it creates a barrier between racial ethnicity and people that are already being profiled, which is contributing to high blood pressure.
Right, and I think that, you know, that it was my term for just kind of clumping those behaviors together. I wouldn't necessarily say that that was a term that Lorraine Robbins or, although they looked over the presentation. So I think that's a good point and something to be considered.
Also looking at what other factors lead to obesity, such as pharmaceuticals in the water, hormones that are being put in the food system,
food systems,
education and funding for people being able to eat diets that are actually healthy for their bodies. People who are not just Anglo-Saxon and don't always do well with lactose. We need raw milk that has lactase in it. People who are Asian can make soy milk. And so I'm just wondering what you meant by what factors contribute to obesity and what unhealthy eating is. That was my main question.
Oh, the main question, you wondered what I meant by unhealthy behaviors. Going to fast foods and eating a lot of, that's what their question was.
Oh, okay.
Was the thing was how much did they attend fast foods, how much milk did they drink, because the literature has shown, and these were based on literature searches, and what was based on that the more milk that these students would drink, in the literature it shows that that decreases obesity instead of increasing it. That can also vary with the type.
Okay.
Could we have the conversation afterwards? Because we need to get some other people to have some questions. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yes, please.
A couple of comments. First of all, Ben, on your excessive weight loss, that 72,000 students, you didn't indicate the ethnicity of those. Did you know them?
Because it's too complicated. Then the student might report like they have two or three ethnicity combined, so it's too complicated to include, so I kind of don't put it into my energy.
Were they inner city kids or suburban kids?
I don't actually go into that part.
So you didn't factor them at all?
No.
Okay. On your report, you showed a picture of kids playing in the scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to watch them and take a picture of the playground there?
Well, that was not our intervention community, but we did rate those sources in predominantly white communities. But we were working with that community, both the school, the nonprofits, and residents. So that was just actually from an event that we were hosting.
So you didn't really analyze the facilities or where the kids live in your study group to facilitate?
Oh, we certainly compared.
How did you rank
in them? The white community, we use the same tool, the Parents tool, and in the predominantly white communities, they have a much better built environment, much better parks.
In the distance from there?
About 3 miles, but that proved to be too much.
Did you develop any kind of a bike trail maybe to get into the city?
Actually, Tampa is notoriously in the top two for the worst cities to walk or bike, so I would not advocate for a bike trail in Tampa.
Yeah.
So the long-term possibility of those kids having exercise is not good unless someone deals with the infrastructure.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah. Nature of Tampa. Right?
Certainly, and
we get, why doesn't that not be reported?
Well, I think it was outside the realm of what I was doing, but
I think
Parks and Rec.
Talking about kids not exercising.
No, I can't address the quote unquote whether it's true or not racist nature of Tampa. I mean, that being said, there is, like I said, a large group of people working, and there's actually a multi-million-dollar project going into enlarging the largest park in that community I'm working in. So, I mean, I think strides are being made. If anything, I would say the downside is the community I work in is getting all the money, and the Hispanic Latino community is getting none in Tampa. So that, if we're looking at these quote-unquote racist issues, that's the problem.
Sure.
I don't think that was pertinent to what I was presenting.
Right.
Do you want
to, we'll have that discussion a little bit later. I had a question for Ben. I noticed in one of your slides that there was quite an increase between 1997 and 1999. I mean, the bars just went like this. Did you look at what, I realize this was before you probably got started, but did you look at any of the factors that might have caused that increase? Because it seemed to stay pretty high, and then it started to drop down, yeah.
Actually, I analyzed the data, the specific year data for 2005 and 2007 and even 2009, but I did not look at it specific year.
Yeah, that slide, I don't know if it struck anybody else, but there was quite a jump at that one.
Because they had measured fasting in those years, and that's why
that's entirely.
Yeah. That they hadn't asked it in those 2 years, and that's why there was such a big jump.
That's entirely fine. Yes, please.
I had a question for him as well. But note that, you know, we have this national perception that it's mostly female, you know, particularly among adolescents. And I just wondered, I was surprised, I think the number of males reporting at least some was over 40% of the total. So was there any background on how many of those were in a competitive sport where they were having to lose weight, such as a wrestling, gymnastics, or, you know, crew? I didn't go out for the lightweight, you know, but the lightweight crew in high school was 140 pounds. Well, if you weren't 140 pounds, you had to do some things to crash to make weight for it was even worse for the coxswain. So,
yeah, I analyzed it. 2007 data specifically, and I found the team sports also a contributing factor to the extreme weight loss practice.
For both men and women?
For both male and female students. But for the overall data, it's not significant. I also put it into the logistical equation, but it's not significant, so I kind of take it out.
Would that be more true by age, though? As they get more into the high school is when you know, in the college age is when those factors really come in that are more of a problem.
They're having the opposite problem versus totally without physical activity.
They overdo or underdo.
Yeah. Other questions?
One other question. On the seasonal nature of eating habits, like Christmas time, people eat a whole lot, or prom time, girls want to get in prom dress. Did you stop the annuals?
Because they're seasonal. Actually, with our study, the girls on the move, they are looking at seasonal differences. And they didn't find anything really significant right now, which is very interesting because other researchers have found differences. In fact, they thought that they would see an increase from spring when they did it to over the summer and then in the fall. And they actually saw a decline. So that may be age-related, because these girls went from elementary to middle school now, okay? And so it may be related to the grade issue, but I know one of, Karen Pfeiffer is looking at that. She's looking at the seasonal differences, especially in Michigan. When we're talking seasons, that's an issue.
Yeah.
It's one of the ethnic things.
Yes.
Yes.
In the South, you eat a whole lot because it depends in January.
Right. And in January, besides
Right.
It was interesting that Jill mentioned that in West Virginia there's a lot of mountainous regions, yet they're gaining weight.
Right.
I would think that if they're walking in those mountains...
Oh, they're driving.
Oh, they're all driving. Okay.
They're taking a bus.
Yeah, okay, okay. Yeah.
And you're on the side of a mountain.
Okay.
So sometimes all right. It's cultural, too. It is resources, I think, in a lot of those rural counties,
yeah.
As far as getting enough organized sports or recreational facilities.
Right. And I think, a separate interest of mine is the impact on girls. Sometimes it seems to be a little bit harder if they don't have, if the resources are there, they might be able to voice T-ball leagues, but there aren't as many opportunities in their growth. And organized activity for girls can be dance and gymnastics, things that take a lot of financial resources and time to involve their child in.
Other questions?
I just want to make a comment, too, as far as our ethnicity. It was really amazing. We had the mixed girls. Many of them were American Indian, as well as being African American and Caucasian. And so it was really fascinating. And when the girls were filling them out, I helped with data collection. That was one of the things I did on this project. And it was really fun because the girls, we let them fill in as many as they could. And yes, it is an issue when you start to look at the data. We had 7 categories of girls because there were so many different races, ethnicities, but they were excited about the fact that, I've got this and this and this in my blood. And so I thought that was really neat that we had that many different types of ethnicities and races.
Other questions? Thank you very much for attending. I appreciate it. And let's give our presenters one more hand.